Yo, what's happening, everybody? Thank you again for tuning in to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. My name is Jerome. Welcome to volume number 148. What's happening, y'all, on this Saturday morning? I know a lot of you all are out, you know, having your health smoothies, walking on a treadmill, you know, just doing what you do, leading your family in prayer. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, right? If you are doing that, salute. But I am here in my living room, okay, watching cars pass by on the Rockford Speedway. Yeah? Nah, man, everybody speeds in Rockford, man. So welcome to the show. You know, there's been a whole lot going on. You know, I want to talk about how important it is just to be black first. Right? We have a whole lot of different things going on in our community. And it seems though that, you know, black people are more separated than five fingers. Right? I mean, wow. I mean, you know, you could ask a black person, who are you? Oh, I'm an atheist. Who are you? Oh, I'm a vegan. Who are you? Oh, I'm a rapper. Who are you? Oh, I'm a carpenter. Who are you? I'm a mechanic. Who are you? I'm a lesbian. Who are you? Oh, I'm transgender. Who are you? Oh, yeah, I'm a communicator. What? You're not black? You're not a black person? Well, yeah, but, you know, I have these particular beliefs. And, you know, being that I believe this, then I'm over here with these group of people. Yeah, I'm over here with the mechanics. We believe this. Oh, yeah, I'm over here with communicators. We really don't get along with the mechanics because they're always dropping oil everywhere. And being, and as a result of the environment and oil, you know, it really, that doesn't sit well with me. So communicators and mechanics, we have some differences that I don't think that we're never going to align with. Really? Yeah, you know what? Most black people are Christians or Muslims. So me being an atheist, I don't think that I'm going to be able to talk to black people because, you know, I don't believe in a higher power or whatever it is they call it. So, you know, I'm just pretty much out doing my own thing. Really? Interesting. Very, very interesting. These are some of the conversations that you would hear. This is the reason why I am a main component or supporter, and I'm starting a movement stating that, you know what, in the black church, we should no longer, well, not to say that we were doing it in the first place, but this needs to be communicated and just say, hey, we welcome all gay, lesbian, and transgender people in our church. You want to know why? Because people in the church sin too. Daily, constantly. And guess what else? Who else is going to give these people religion? Who's going to preach them sermons? Right? We have to do it. We have to be black first. This is the reason why, if you listen to my channel, I do not support gay bashing. I do not support any type of ethnic violence. Don't do it. But I'm going to talk about black people first, because and one of the main things was reason why I said that I wanted to do this is because, you know what, these people are black. There shouldn't be a separation between black men that are straight, bisexual, and gay. These men are black. And transgender. They're men. How are we as a people, as a group of people, think about this, right? How are we as a group of people are gonna come together as one if we can't accept the people in our own community? Because, oh, let's be real. The hate is real. Shit, this damn near got to a point where, hell, in some sectors, gay men are looking at black or looking at straight men like, hell, what are you doing here? Who invited you? You don't belong here. It's true. I'm gay. This is for gay people only. Yeah, it's true. It happens. But when it's time for us to rise up, and it's time, not against white people, but for ourselves, we can't do it. Because you want to know why? There's going to be a group of people here and a group of people there. And everybody mentally is separated. But guess what? See, here is when the situation starts to come back. When you go to fill out that damn loan application. So let me get this straight. Or let me get this right. No pun intended, but when I said straight. Let me get this right. So you and your significant other, you make $45,000. Your significant other makes $40,000. You guys have a 650 credit score each. No debt. And you say you want to live on the east side of town? Okay. Well, you know what? Let me be the first to say, you know what? You guys are doing a great job. It's not too often that we come in and we see people with not only with the 20% down, you guys have 30% down. Wow. That's $75,000. How did you do that? And that's when you and your wife starts to poke your chest out or hold your head up and say, well, you know, we've been working at our jobs for 10 years or more. And, you know, we were actually able to, you know, secure an actual withdrawal, you know, via the first home buyers program from our 401k. We were actually able to do that with no taxes because we're, you know, we're first time home buyers, you know, the first in our, you know, in both of our families in the last 20 years, you know, we were the number one, you know, we were the first people to graduate. You know, you start talking about all of these first generational things, right? Really? Now you're showing that you have this in your checking account. Is there any way possible that we could get a cashier's check? Because unfortunately, we don't take that type of cash. Now the conversation starts to get weird. Damn, but we just told you. So we can't bring cash. No, unfortunately. So you know what? No problem. Let's just go to our mortgage underwriters, and we're gonna see what happens. Hey, you know what? This is really important, right? We have a nice bungalow that we're looking at. It's a two flat. You know, this is gonna be for our children. It's going to be for our family. Really? You said what? You're the first generation? You know what? Like I stated, that's great. We're going to try to do everything that we can to help you. Okay. You know what? Thank you very much. You know, our realtor is waiting. You know, we've been pre-qualified by you all. We're just coming in to sign the dotted line. You know what? There's just a little bit more information that we need. As a matter of fact, can you bring your bank statements from the last 10 years? 10 years? Wow. Black man, black woman in there. Wow. Or a black couple in there. 10 years? Yeah, 10 years. Just, you know, you guys have been doing just a great job. We're going to use this as an example for other young couples that come in who really want to have the mortgage process streamlined and everything. Oh, you know, so this does something mentally stimulating to them, right? It's nothing like black people getting a compliment from white people. Oh, wow. We go off. You know, so now they're, you know, they're really in there. So they go do all of this work, right? Bring them back, which the person in there was thinking, oh, there's no way they're going to be able to come up with this. Bing, they got it the next day. Yeah, we were actually able to contact our bank. Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Craig. Thanks, Monica. You know what? Here it is. You know, here's everything. Okay, so you know what? Right now, our realtor is really putting pressure on us. The market is rising. We need to make this offer within the next week. You said you were going to streamline this. Okay, you know what? Tell your realtor, no problem. Monica and James, no problem. We got you all. We want the best for you and your family. That week passed, denied. What? What happened? Oh, well, you know what? 7 years ago, there was a something that came back from a checking account that an underwriter really just didn't see an actual translation in regards to you being, you and your family being good participants in regards to this loan and the first home buyers program. Unfortunately, we're going to have to deny you, even though you have the $75,000 with the cashier's check. Your credit scores are great. You don't have no debt and you brought in the 10 years of information. That one thing sometimes can mess up the process. You know, but we do encourage you all to come back and try to do business with us within the next 6 months, because that's going to somehow show us, you know, a good payment history. Boom. They were denied. You know what? They weren't denied because they were a motorist. They weren't denied because they were an atheist. They weren't denied because they were lesbians, gays, or homosexual. They weren't denied because they were communicators. They were denied, damn it, because they were fucking black. We need to understand exactly what this means. Right? The same thing when you go and you, the same thing when you go and you apply for that credit card. They don't give a damn who you are and what you do. They are concerned that, hey, you know what? Look, in this scenario, excuse me just for a moment. I was hearing too much noise. I had to let my windows down. They don't give a damn who you are and what you were doing. Right? They don't give a damn what your sexual orientation is and what you stand for. They're going to give you the highest APR and interest rate available. Because guess what? You are black. When you go to that hospital and you're getting a health screening, they're not going to provide you with the best service, ladies and gentlemen. This is why I go so hard on our black healthcare system. Even though that you have the right insurance. You better make sure you know what you're doing when you up in there. Because you are black. They understand that you're black first. We don't understand that we're black first. See, understand this, right? Why most black businesses fail is because, see, we're not shopping on the I'm black first scenario. I'm going to make an example. I met a very, very smart, intelligent young lady, right? She's cool. She's about to start an actual home for children, right? She's going to be adopting children, you know, so you could adopt up to five. You know, we had a conversation about, you know, the age and mental capacity, this, that, and the third, you know, just a lot of different things. You know, she's trying to expand by, you know, just taking care of black children. Hey, I don't have a problem with that. You know what I'm saying? She's trying to make money off that. Cool. So she told me that, you know what, she does a lot of different things, this, that, and the third. As you all may very well know, if you listen to my podcast, I love food. I made a whole podcast on why it's important for African-Americans to what? Sell tacos. I talked about the importance of Taco Tuesday, everything, this, that, and the third. All right, cool. She told me that she was selling food. I love to eat. I told her I support black business. Oh, what's good? I go to her crib. You know what I'm saying? The crib was put together nicely. You know what I'm saying? She said that she was making banana pudding. It was a very weird combination of food. I must admit, the banana pudding, chicken wings, and chicken nacho dip. Right? I was like, okay. I asked her how much it cost. She said $15. Picked the food up. It was two chicken wings up in there. It was a bowl of so-called banana pudding. It wasn't. The chicken wings were good. The dip was good. I don't like banana pudding, so I really didn't even eat that. But what I'm saying is this, right? I'm saying this because I paid her the money. Okay? She gave me the food. Everything was good, but I still wanted more chicken wings for $15. I didn't go on social media and take a picture of her food and blast her and say all of this and say all of that. I didn't do any of that, right? What I did do was I did call her and I congratulated her, you know what I'm saying, on her endeavors. And I provided her with some feedback saying, hey, look, I understand that you set in place and this, that, and the third. You know what? I think the food was great. But you know what? Moving forward, I would definitely suggest, right, that you include more chicken. That's just me. Hey, but if you're doing anything in the future, don't hesitate to hit my line. I'll be more than happy to shop with you again. You want to know why I did that? It's because I shopped with her, number one, because she was black, and number two, because she was trying to provide an opportunity and service. Okay? Now, this is where things get hairy at. We say all the time that well, you know what? Sometimes black people, they don't be doing this and they don't be doing that and they don't be doing this and they don't be doing that. We say all of that shit until we go to the Louis store. Until we go to these expensive jewelry places. To where they follow your ass around all the time. Now you all on social media doing this and doing that. Oh, they don't like black people. But guess what? Your ass is going to be right back there. Buying Louis, Gucci, Dior. You're going to go right back and buy them expensive ass diamonds. Because you're not shopping black first. And then low key, some of us are so damn jealous to where that if we see this person getting too big, we'll start talking about them just because we getting jealous and envious. Get your goofy ass up out of here. It's dumb. Because we're not thinking about being black first. We don't understand that the more money that we spend with us, time, love, care, being sincere, helping your brother, man, is only going to help us. And by the way, check this out. That bank that they went to was not a black-owned bank. That's the reason why they got denied. Black-owned banks are missing an enormous opportunity right now just off of marketing. Hey, we're a black-owned bank. Yep, we're black-owned. We're accepting all applicants. We're black-owned. We're black-owned. Blah, blah. We're black-owned. We're black-owned. We're black-owned. Just off of marketing. I promise you, if these people were smart enough to go to one historic black college and say, you know what, look, what we're going to do as of today is we're going to offer $300 credit cards and use that as an investment at black colleges, I think that, and start off there and say, hey, you know what, moving forward, for everybody that's in our finance team, you know what, we're going to partner with you guys. For everybody that's out there that's on staff, that are quote unquote affluent, we're going to partner with you guys. A 0.5% or 1% off your mortgage if you refinance with us today. Even if your credit score is 600. You see how that works? But see, they're not doing business as Black First. They're doing business. You know what? Well, I'm in the financial space. No. We're Black First, y'all. We're Black First. Be Black First. We got people that's out here that graduated from Harvard, Yale. They didn't went to law school. They didn't did this. They didn't did this. They have amazing accomplishments. Oh, I can't stand her. She's a Democrat. This bitch out of here. What? You Black. You came up through the same, 9 times out of 10, you came up through the same struggles. But yet and still, you want to criticize this woman or man for what they think and what they support. Stop. Stop. Be Black First. Say, hey, you know what? Listen, I understand that you support this, that, and the third, but hey, it's fine, right? If you ever need anything, though, right, let me know. I'll try to help you. Okay? Be Black First. Be Black First. We have these groups of Black men and Black women. Oh, well, Black men don't do this, and Black women don't do this, and Black men don't do this, and Black women don't do this. Man, shut up and be Black First. Woman, shut up and be Black First. Because what they're really talking about is a group of beliefs that our ancestors never had. We wonder why that our ancestors from 40 and 50 years ago, 60 and 80 years ago, was doing way better than what we're doing now. Even with everything that we got right now and all the wisdom and all the knowledge that we got right now and access to information, business opportunities, grants and everything, our ancestors still was doing better. You want to know why? Because they were Black First, damn it. They didn't give a fuck. They knew that, hey, guess what? If one go, we all go. Not on some, if one protests, we all protested. You know what? If one got a garden, we all got a garden. If one got a plot of land, we all got it. If we're being serious about sending our kids to school to get a proper education, we all doing it. That's one of the main reasons why I never really understood the whole thing about the segregation thing. Because shit, for the most part, it was a lot of Black people that was not tripping off that bullshit on how they made it a big deal. I understand segregation, but what I'm saying is it was a lot of people that wasn't really tripping, saying, shit, stay over there. What are we going over there for anyway? And see, this is the reason why I brought that shit up, because we're still being segregated. It's still segregation. It's still discrimination. It's still racial hate. Don't fool yourself. Just Google Wells Fargo and Google black people and you will see what the hell I'm talking about. And that mortgage example that I made earlier, damn it, I wasn't making that shit up. That is real. It happens every damn day. See, what happens is there are these groups that we align ourselves with, right? And then we put the group before who we are. Somehow we're making ourselves secondary mentally. And we put our belief before who we really are. And that's not true. You black first, damn it, before anything. Outside of a child of God. Other than that, you better make sure you got that shit understood in America. It's gotten to the point to where black people don't even want to work twice as hard anymore. We done lost our damn work ethic. That's what we were known for. To persevere. Where's our perseverance at? Black perseverance? The people that never made any excuse? The ones that can create something out of nothing? We don't hear those things being put forth, do we? See, because that's goddamn it, because we didn't got too comfortable trying to be everything else but ourselves. The people that can make a way out of no way, oh, you, well, they must have been black. The ones that raise their children on morals, oh, they must have been black. See, we can't say that shit today. There was a time that we could say it. Oh, well, shit, you know what? Those people over there, they kids commit suicide. Well, we know that ain't black people. Oh, those kids over there, they screaming and cussing out their mom. Well, we know that ain't black people. Oh, well, you know what? Those people over there, they actually, they doing this and they doing that. Well, we know that ain't black people. Black people ain't doing that shit. We can't say that shit no more. Oh, no. We doing any and everything under the sun. Anything that's toxic, we're doing it now. That's the reason why I like my platform so much, because I could actually speak the truth unadulterated, unfiltered, and wouldn't give a damn about what nobody say, because guess what? If they try to check me or challenge me, I know what I'm talking about. And I'm also man enough to where if somebody comes at me and say, hey, man, you know what? You was real wrong for that. I'd be like, hey, listen here, my brother or my sister. You know what? I apologize and I try to do better. Not try, will. You understand what I'm talking about? We can no longer associate and acknowledge ourselves with these forms of thinking without saying, I am black first. In any and everything that you do, you are black. Because I can guarantee you this, right? While we playing around, guess what? You this and this and this until you get pulled over by that police. Now it's no doubt about it. I don't give a damn who you is. It's no doubt about it. You black. Oh, yeah. All of that slick shit go out the window then. That you constantly using to, you know, to separate yourself from your people. Now you looking for, now you looking all around. Oh, shit. You know what? Can I get some support? Is somebody going to come around and try to film this shit? Now you're looking for a black person, damn it. You better learn some sense. Oh, yeah. So now. Now that I didn't stop yelling, I'm trying to... I'm passionate about this, right? Because I understand how important it is for us to be together. I understand how important it is for us to show love to each other regardless of what's going on. I understand the importance of us having the ability to even say, hey, look, I'm sorry, to apologize. Right? You got black people out here, young black people out here that's in gangs. That's killing each other over a separate color in a group of beliefs that has been instilled in them. And they are not recognizing, damn it, that they are black first. They're shooting automatic weapons. What? Automatic weapons. Semi-automatics killing each other. Because they're not realizing they are black first. But I'm going to let you know when they're going to realize it, though. When they get their ass behind them bars. Clink, clink. And they still try to get into their little subgroups. Right? But when that damn correction officer got their damn boot on their neck. And one and the other one holding their legs and the other one beating their ass. You're going to realize that you're black then. You're going to realize when you're in that courtroom and they giving you a double the time for the same crime. Oh, yeah. You're going to realize that you're black then. If you make it to the damn courtroom. You're going to realize when them damn people show up and they don't got no search warrant and they kick in your door. And you don't got no drugs in your house, but they see that stack of money over there. You don't got no guns. Oh, well, you know what? Don't worry about it, man. You're going to get this back, guy. This money here, you know, we're just going to take this for evidence. Fuck you mean you're going to take this for evidence? Oh, yeah, all of that Daimu shit you hollering or Roller 60s or Gangsta's Disciple, all of that shit going to be out the door. You're going to realize, oh, man, you just doing this to me because I'm what? Because I'm black, goddammit. Not because you a Crip. Not because you GD. Not because you Vice Lord. Because you black. The hell wrong with you? Or when your daughter go up missing, when she done walked to the store, she going up there to get her some chili cheese Fritos, a burrito, and a 2 liter pop, and a couple oodles and noodles so she could chill out for the rest of the, you know what I'm saying, for the rest of the Saturday evening, and then some low life ass, trifling ass, earthworm, then abducted her. And you reaching out to all the news outlets, radio stations, television shows, everything. And you realize these people don't give a fuck about your daughter because what? She is black. And then instantly, that's when it comes to your mind that all of these other titles that you got up under yourself, you're going to be saying, oh my God, if this was a white girl, they would have been had this shit on the news. You want to know why, goddammit? Because your daughter is black and they don't give a fuck about you. They don't care. So at this point in time, what you're afraid to do, some people won't say this, what you're afraid to do is to call for help upon your own community. And this is sad. This is when that thing that you have over yourself, this veil that you have over yourself has to come off. And this is when you're totally vulnerable because you're afraid. This is when pride comes in. Because you're afraid that everybody's going to judge you. Because why? Because you only have a specific association. And now you can't, you probably could call them the small people group of people over there. But you can't call out to the whole community. Y'all help. Help, help, help. And even if you do, you know what they're going to say? Oh. Well, just yesterday, you was just over there with them. Some of them like this. Well, how about you stay over there with them then, man? We cool over here. Hey, my daughter. Fuck I look like helping you for? What? Because, see, you fail to realize, damn it, that you black first. And until we as a people, and especially as a group of men, start coming together and saying, hey, what are you doing over there? All right, man, I'm on the way. There was a time to where the community really did raise, help raise children. Salute to my mom. We were in rural Louisiana. You want to know why my mom always knew where I was as a kid? Every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? Because guess what? When they got out of work, guess what we was doing? Playing cards. Sometimes we was doing homework. Sometimes we was having spelling bees. Guess what my mom was in there doing? Cooking food, frying chicken. Guess where my cousin was at? Over our house. Guess where our friends was? Over our house. Guess what we did on the weekends? Playing baseball, volleyball, basketball, kickball, football. Going swimming. Guess who was with us? Responsible adults. Guess what we had to do? We had to do chores Saturday morning all throughout the week to earn our privileges to go outside. What I'm saying is that my parents were involved in our life to the best of their ability. They weren't perfect, right? They was not perfect, but they were involved. Hell, I wish that they was involved a lot more. But they was. They was involved. Right now, meaning, and I'm saying this to say this, right? My mom and them was doing so much, and it wasn't even work to them. It was just natural. We was doing so much, entertaining other people, children on the weekends and stuff like that. That way, when I walked up the street and somebody seen me and I could have been doing anything. Hey, what you doing? Well, you know your mama didn't raise you like that. Get your butt in this car. And you better be glad I don't want to do this. Or I'll go down there and I'll tell your mama right now. You see what I'm saying? And I didn't have a problem with it. And then once I realized that, hey, guess what? I'm not away from home. I can't do no wrong because of this and that. This person gonna hold me accountable. That person gonna hold me accountable. So guess what I'm gonna do? I'm going to do right. I have to do right because this is the foundation. My mama didn't even know that they was doing this. And still to this day, these are blessings that my mother and my father, with the blessings from God, has bestowed upon me, that I could be all the way. I could be thousands of miles from rural Louisiana, Lightwood, Louisiana, Bastrop, Louisiana. And guess what? I can link in with good people because they have laid the roadblocks down and somehow still have a area of accountability around me. I don't know how it worked out like that. Because my parents understood that they were raising a black child, not a basketball player, not a track star, not a scholar, a black child. You know what, Jerome, when you're in the streets, you got to do like this. When you're around certain people, you got to do like this. You know what, you got to do like this. You black. See, these days, we have too much of, well, you know what, my child don't do that. I don't want my child to do that. I don't want my child to do that. And you can't say this to my child. You can't say this to my child. You can't say this to my child. And then they call themselves, oh, well, yeah, you know, that's my... Are you raising a black child? See, the reason why a lot of these people, you see so many different things going on in these malls and these schools, guns popping up everywhere, drugs popping up everywhere. You see what I'm saying? Because guess what? On Friday nights, instead of them trying to spend time with their children, seeing what their children is up to, trying to spend some quality time watching movies, doing all of this. Hey, can I go over such and such house? Nope. What you mean? It's Friday night. Nope. I tell you what, they can come over here. Oh, they can? Yeah, guess what? I'm finna put some meat on the grill. The game on tonight. Oh, for real? Yeah. So that way, when they start getting messages about, you know what? Yeah, they got, you know what I'm saying? It's a stick over here, bro. You know what I'm saying? This, that, and the third. It's a stick over here. Yeah, you know what? Old girl, mom and them going, No. See, that's when you step in and be like, no. Hey, look, you could go. My son or daughter ain't coming. Oh, why not? You ain't coming? Well, I got to be home with mom and dad. Damn right you is. But guess what, though? Hey, you want another rib? You know what I'm saying? This is our time to bun. Well, what are we going to be doing tomorrow? Well, you know, tomorrow, you know what I'm saying? We got to do this. We got to do that. I don't really want to go. God damn it, you going. Well, you know what? We got to go over here. You know what I'm saying? You know, we got to mow this yard. Or we got to go over there and do old girl nails and this and this and this. See, shit like that. This is where we missing the boat, because we got too many people, parents, done worked all week, right? They come home, they done ordered the kids something to eat. Oh, well, mama, where you finna go? I'm going. I'm finna go with Sherry them. Daddy, where you finna go? I'm going. I'm finna go be hollering Ricky them. Well, what we finna do? Y'all do, what you mean what you finna do? What you do every night? Well, we all, kids want that. Regardless of what you saying, teenagers want that. Are you being black parents first? Stop playing. Stop playing. So when you out here and somebody see your child, that you saying that can't nobody say nothing to, goddamn it, when they going in there and they stealing, you know what, ain't nobody going to say nothing to them then. Or when they need aid and help to get them out of a certain situation, ain't nobody going to say nothing to them then. You handicapping your own damn child by telling everybody, guess what, don't say nothing to them. Now even in school, your child is irreproachable. Because you didn't got it. Hey, you know, don't let nobody talk to you. Don't. Outside of saying, you know what? Hey, you know what? If you do something wrong, you need to accept response. Being a black parent first is very important. That's who we are to our community. How many times are we as a people going to keep beating ourselves on the head because we're constantly seeing minorities come through and dominate us? You want to know why? Because guess what? Black men can't get together and say, hey, you know what? A group of us, it's seven of us. We're going to go over here and we're going to get on this house. We're going to start to rehab our own community, regardless of where it's at. And we're going to start to do some things on our own and for ourselves. Be a black builder first. Stop waiting on these people to come in and save us. It's a damn shame. Now it's definitely apparent, as I was telling everybody for years, that the west side of Chicago, there's a portion of west side of Chicago that's close to downtown. The property was dirt cheap. Nobody wanted to buy because that's where the niggas was at. Even the niggas that was living over there, and it was so crazy. I'm saying niggas because that's where the black people was at. It was so crazy. The black people that had been living over there for years and paying rent for years didn't want to stay there. Didn't want to buy it. But you paying rent there. Your son and your daughter, your mother and your father, your girlfriend, your ex-girlfriend, your homie, your best friend, all live within 10 minutes of each other, but y'all don't want to buy this shit. Didn't think it was valuable until them people came over there and said, you know what, well, hey, not only are we going to buy this, everything, we buying everything over here. And as a matter of fact, y'all get the hell out. Now, you guys have to leave. Oh, man, what are they doing us like this? These damn people always coming over here. No. When motherfuckers was trying to put knowledge into your head and to let you know that it's enough black people over here to build out and build cheap and build correct, you start looking, well, where's the money? What you mean, where's the money? It's 100 of y'all around here. It's 100 of y'all around here. You mean to tell me 100 black men don't got $1,000? That's $100,000 right there. But you know what the problem is? Hell yeah, they had it. You want to know what the problem is? That when it come down to black men, we put our ego first. Before anything, before being black, we put our ego first. We want to be the king. We want to be the man. We want to hold our chest out and be like, yeah, I'm stunned on everybody else. Ain't nobody getting more money than me. Ain't nobody being more fire than me. I'm putting it down. Me and my crew. Dumbest shit I ever heard. Now you and your crew on the way out. That club that you, know what I'm saying, that y'all used to go to every week, can't go there no more. Them corners that you used to ride around the block in, you can't do that no more. Now you somewhere out in a suburb that you don't know nothing about, that you have to regain and uproot your family from just simply because you didn't want to work together with other black men. It's your ego. Right? It's your ego. And you did it to yourself. Because guess what? Black men do not want to work with other black men because of their ego. Be black first. Last but not least, I want to talk about something that's real. I'm going to talk about trauma. I'm going to talk about how people put their traumas before being black. And they use it as a crutch. And I'm going to say this. Because at one point in time, I was doing it too. I have different traumas from back in the day. No doubt. And these traumas come up. Right? But I need for everybody, don't let your traumas, don't put your trauma before who you are as a person. Don't let your traumas get the best of you. Don't put your trauma before your identity as being a black person. That gives you an excuse to act out. That gives you an excuse to be rude. That gives you an excuse to constantly make bad decisions. That gives you an excuse to be a bad person. Don't do that. Get the help you need to improve your life so that way you can be a better black person. Not to say, well, you know, oh, I have dyslexia, or I have schizophrenia, or I am bipolar. No, 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 no. You black. That don't work. I'm narcissistic. I'm toxic. No, 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 sweetheart. You're not. You're black. You could get help for that. This shit right here that we got on our skin, it ain't coming off. I won't give a damn. I won't give a damn if you get that cream to lighten your skin. Right? Because you have depression. This intergenerational depressionism that you want to be accepted by modern society. So you put this shit on your skin. Nah, sweetheart. You black. Oh, yeah. No, sir. Sammy Sosa, you black. No way around it. You black. So, we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen. Now here is the end, right? Because everything that I was talking about earlier is more to being black than just our skin color. You know, we have black culture. We have a lot of different things. But for the most part, if you noticed, I was talking about everything else as well. We have to be better to ourselves. We have to be better men. We have to be better servers. We have to be better leaders. We have to be better mates, husbands, wives. We have to be better children. We just have to do better, period. We have to. If not, the things are going to get worse for us. Sometimes the most unpopular opinion, and I know mine is unpopular. I know that some people do not want to relieve the veil from over their head, from around their body, the things that they think that represents them. The only thing representing you is you being black. Everything else comes secondary. You have to be a server of your people first. Because it's no doubt about it. The examples are being put out. And you have to be unapologetically black. It is no doubt in my mind that when they say that we need the black vote, they mean that shit. And guess what? We go all out of our way. But when have you heard black people as a whole come together in one voice and say, you know what, we need reparations. Oh. What? What? In one voice, we need reparations. Where is it? Oh, well. See, they usually shut that up in one thing. Well, we can't afford it. Nope. Oh, we're in a recession. Oh, we're going to consider it. We got you all Harriet Tubman, even though it hasn't came out yet, on a quarter or a $20 bill. Or we tore statues down. Or we have a black president that served for 8 years and a woman vice president that's serving now and also a black woman that's on the security, the Supreme Justice. And we also have another. That's when the conversation starts to get real, real weird. If you notice, my voice tone is changing. See how that works? Do y'all understand that? Are y'all even in tune with that? This is the power. When have we as black men said, hey, look, every foreclosed home, when have we got together and said every foreclosed home in our community, every ran down project in our community, every building in our community, we're going to get together. We're going to pool our resources. Everybody that wants to be involved, we're going to pool our resources right now. See, this is where, see, this is when, see, this is the reason why they start hating on Jay Morrison. Jay Morrison didn't plan it. He didn't say it like that. The Tulsa Real Estate Fund. He didn't say it like, hey, you know what? I need all black men right now. If y'all send me $1,000, we could buy every piece of property in the hood. See, he talked about doing other things. But see, if he would have put it like that, more black people would have got involved. Not to say he's not being successful. I've heard some things, but I don't know. You see what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. Jay Morrison. Dr. Omar Johnson almost had it right. Except we never seen no results. King Randall is doing great. Salute to him. So, man, I really do appreciate you all tuning in to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast, man. Volume number 148 on how important it is to be black first. Y'all get at me on social media, man. Jerome Thornton on Facebook. Rome Empire 77 on Twitter. Virtual Hustle, even though I don't post on my Instagram, Virtual Hustle 77 on Instagram. And also, I got two Twitter pages also. Virtual Hustle Radio when I was doing radio. You know what I'm saying? The radio's coming back. But man, hopefully you all have a blessed and glorious day. And I'm going to talk to y'all soon.